B-Pod Studios.
This is the DraftKings Over Under Show with the Bankroll Boys, Joe Murray and Dan Lifschitz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey, I'm Joe Murray. Dan Lifschitz here. Tucker Silva. We're here to talk betting on this beautiful Saturday afternoon. Dan, I don't know why. I don't want to get into it too politically, okay? But are we turning a corner when it comes to more stuff to bet on?
We definitely are. We have like a legitimate sports weekend. I mean, we have UFC tonight. We got NASCAR tomorrow. And again, I don't know the first thing about NASCAR. I have a NASCAR guy, but I don't know the first
Let's
thing about NASCAR.
Let's throw our hat in the ring,
but
right?
It's something. We got golf this week. It's coming back. We got the ponies going on. The Bundesliga's back.
Bundesliga, baby.
I mean, there's stuff to bet on. There's stuff to talk about. It's, you know, we're there. We're getting closer. We're coming back slowly, step by step.
All right, so Dan just kind of teased everything. What we'll do today, and we've been doing this the last couple of weeks, but we're taking a division in football, and we are breaking it down by who should win and what the win totals will be. So we'll start there. Today we have the NFC East. So we'll break that down coming up in just a little bit. Also, thoughts on the week of UFC. And I just want to say that Dana White right now is the baddest man on the planet. The fact that he can come up with a blueprint, have someone test positive for coronavirus, send them home, have two shows continue and have another tonight, and the fact that the show went on and no one else got sick and people got tested, he's got the blueprint to get this thing going. But Dan Lifschitz watched a ton of UFC over the last couple of weeks. I like to bet on it. And I know the guy's a little bit in connection, but we'll get into that later. But you watched, and as someone who bets on sports, it's been interesting, right?
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes when it comes to the judges, things can be a little controversial.
Listen, I've always been a UFC guy. I like to watch here and there, basically two entire events. I think I missed the first half of Wednesday night, the first few fights, but basically watching almost two full events. It was fantastic. The product was fantastic. The fights were fantastic. This is not to sound bad. The only fight that I've really disliked, Joe, was the one women's fight on Saturday. It wasn't entertaining. It was a big fave versus a big dog. That was Wednesday. Was actually the fight that there was sharp money that we kind of talked about on. It was kind of a boring fight.
But you have a juicy nugget that we'll share later today.
Yes. So I gave out a sharp play one last week.
Yep. And I faded it.
Controversy because Joe went against it. And there is a belief that she did not win, that the other side won. I think it was the right side, but obviously I'm biased. I'll give out another sharp play.
Dan's got a juicy nugget on the UFC and a sharp play on the UFC. I have two plays on the main event. Also, John Anik, the voice of UFC, is going to join the show today. He actually breaks down tonight's main event, the Alistair Overeem fight versus Walt Harris, and also the women's main event tonight between Claudia and Hill. So he'll join us later on in the show today, so stay tuned for that as well. The Bundesliga. That's all Dan Lifschitz.
Yeah, the Bundesliga is back, man. I mean, listen, it's something, right? I mean, it's something that's, you know, it's a step in the right direction. It's one of the top five biggest leagues in the world. You know, I mean that's something,
right?
And the biggest sport in the world.
Are there fans or no fans?
No fans.
Okay.
I mean, again, and that's the way it should be.
That's fine. Yep. And then finally, there's the golf. The TaylorMade Driving Relief Showdown. We have the odds. Today is the debut of the golf show with Hardy. So that's going to come up at 8 a.m. So all your golf fix, you can get into that at 8 o'clock, and we'll kind of tease the odds. I don't know, Dan. We'll have some fun with that because I don't know. And then next week, of course, is the big Tiger Woods, Peyton Manning, Phil Mickelson, Tom Brady event.
Which will be, I'm hoping it's not live, so I can get the results. But I also kind of want to watch it. So it's a win-win either way for me. But I'll say that the other thing I do want to touch upon, Joe, is I put in the email last night, Portnoy versus Goodell.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the betting odds in that. Now, this is not going to be a major thing that you can bet everywhere or whatever, but there's a prop bet on it. You know, if we don't get time this week, maybe we'll touch on upon it next week. But just, you know, something interesting to kind of put out there, something fun, you know, whatever.
Yeah, no, I'm in on that. And again, the phone number here is 617-779-0985. We take live calls here. That's why we're doing this show. One thing I will mention is during the Super Bowl week, you may have heard us do players cards that were on Toucher and Rich and also Felger and Maz. Those come back this week. So I believe after the headlines, it's 7:30 or 8:30 this week. I don't know which one, maybe both. You're going to hear myself and Dan give out picks, so you got to stay tuned for that during the week as well. But just off the bat, Dan, Mayor Marty Walsh, we kind of got into this last week. Sporting events could happen in the city of Boston at TD Garden and Fenway, but of course no fans. But what he made clear was July and August. So baseball season's done. I think we already knew that.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is, I think SummerSlam's officially done.
Why is baseball done?
Well, there's no fans. I mean, the baseball thing's another story, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the NHL wants to play and they're going to lose the most money. I don't even want to go here. I don't know if it even matters about gambling, but the NHL is going to make no money and wants to go there. The NBA is going to do this and it might sacrifice their next season. Major League Baseball players don't even want to play.
But hold on about
not
that.
Everybody.
After this morning, I don't know if that's true because all I heard was how crazy they are.
Oh, the creeps.
The creeps, yeah, creeps.
And the owners are creepier.
Creepy guys for wanting to play. Listen, I think you're going to get a mix of every sport, right? You're going to get guys who want to play in every sport. You're going to get guys who don't want to play and are a little bit more nervous about it. It is what it is. Everyone has different feelings about what's going on. I think we all understand the situation at this point. We don't need to repeat it. But, you know, Joey, I mean, the NBA, it sounds like they want everyone to play. All these big guys are having, private phone calls. They want to play. The NBA has to be safe about it because we talked about under Toucher and Rich. They are the woke league. They need to have everyone like them and make sure they don't do anything inappropriate to upset all their woke fans. And that's okay. And that's perfectly fine. And I'm cool with that. But I think they're going to come back. The NHL is definitely going to come back. And, you know, Bettman really, really wants to come back. Like, it's very clear that he's pushing a comeback there. The MLB, I think there are a few players who don't want to come back, but I think the large majority of guys want to get paid. And that's what basically you heard from Blake Snell and Bryce Harper this week, is that they want to come back. They want to make their money.
Yeah, my only beef is this. The whole service time thing. So you want to make no money and have a year of service time go by? And you haven't played for a while, like it's gonna hurt the game, dude. Not to mention the draft's 5 rounds. Like, and I don't know if you heard the poll, but 53% of fans don't care if baseball comes back. Now, as a better, Dan, baseball's great to bet on in the playoffs. It really is. But overall, I don't like betting. It's funny. Last year, Marshall Hook went to Vegas with his wife. And he goes, hey, Joe, the highest bid on the board is the Tigers at, well, although they were playing somebody. The Tigers were the highest dog of the day. And I'm like, dude, take that. They ended up cashing. He just faded whoever the highest play was. But those money lines in base, like a Chris Sale minus 300, it's not worth putting 300 to win 100 bucks. To me, there's no value there unless you want to parlay. And I know you don't like parlays, Dan.
There's no value in a parlay either.
But like, you know, no runs first inning. I love that, you know. There's a lot to bet on when it comes to baseball.
Yeah.
I don't miss it. I still don't miss it.
I miss something right now. I mean, listen, the KBO has been fun. I've enjoyed watching it.
How is that betting, by the way? I see you giving out plays.
I've not given out a single play.
Oh, what have you been giving out?
I've just been betting it. So I've been betting dogs and stuff. I've been playing around with it because I know nothing about the leagues, right? Okay. You know? So I've been trying to get to know the leagues and get to know the players. I know, you know, literally very little about the league. But what I'll tell you is this, Joe. The underdogs bring tremendous value almost every single night. And especially there's a few books that have lines that are outrageous.
Alternative lines, things like that.
No, just I would say that there's a few, we can discuss this off there. I would say there's a few local books that have underdogs lined at a tremendous value at certain times. And they move, obviously, because there's sharp money that comes in, whatever. But the lines that they open with are horrific. I mean, they're, you know, the Baltimore Orioles of line setting. Yeah. So, you know, it's not good. So you can find tremendous value in these, you know, in these dogs. And I think that that is, and that goes for Taiwan too, you know, both South Korea and Taiwan. So I think that there's definitely some value on the board with those there.
I had a chance to talk to Julian Edlow. We've had him on here from DraftKings this week. And he mentioned that if basketball season comes back, the in-game betting will be the biggest thing. Because in the playoffs, teams on the road, you know, home teams, the game, you know, the crowd changing and things like that,
it's
going to be a big deal. And I think in-game betting is probably going to be at its largest when that comes back.
I think that's definitely a possibility. I don't know why it would be bigger, you know, compared to pregame, but I do think that you'll get more sharp action in live game betting, Joe, because of this. Emotion, momentum, those things aren't real anymore. That stuff is real. Now, the players still feel like there's some momentum there, but if there's no fans, I mean, momentum isn't a real thing. And I still am trying to figure out how to find a way to take the home aspect and value it, you know, correctly.
Yeah.
How do you value a home team? Is it travel that you try and value? You know, what is it, because you know the background of the court? What is it that you know where to value, you know, home teams in the NBA, the NFL, the MLB? I think in the MLB, there's no more home value.
None.
In my opinion, there's
I think
no,
I agree with that.
No more home value.
And we already know hockey, it means nothing.
Hockey, it hasn't meant anything in a long time.
In years, yeah.
MLB, I think it's gone. I mean, if you have no fans, there's no value being the home team.
Just real quick about all this with Mayor Walsh. It says through August. I got my season ticket update yesterday.
Yeah.
Preseason starts August 13th, I think. Probably, do we think there'll be fans in the stands?
In the NFL?
Yeah.
I think that
preseason, I think no.
I think preseason, no. I think there's a chance that they're going to try and they're the league that would want to push the envelope. Out of all the leagues here, they would be the league. First off, it's the offseason still. Second off, they would be the league that wants to push the envelope the most. They want to make the most money. The NFL has always been about big business and wanting to get theirs. I think it's possible. Do I think it's likely? No. But do I think if any of the leagues was going to do it, it would be them? 1,000%.
Yeah. And let's not forget the first 4 weeks in the NFL, teams are playing home away. They can always push that back if they really want to. So just keep that in mind when it comes to fans. Hey, quickly, before we hit to the break, we wanted to break down the NFC East. The Cowboys, Eagles, Giants, Redskins. Just looking at it, Dan, I think the Eagles have some value here. I still don't believe in the Giants. I think the Redskins stink. So it's a Cowboys-Eagles division. The Cowboys are loaded. Dak Prescott's playing on that one-year deal. They're a year coming off the playoffs. The Eagles obviously had a playoff spell as last year, but Wentz got hurt. And now Jalen Hurts backing up instead of, you know, our buddy Tim McCone. So, you know, just looking at that conference, it's a two-team conference. Division. But the Cowboys should win this division. But the Eagles did very well last year, considering all their wide receivers were hurt. You know, I'll give you the odds right now. The Cowboys are barely favored, +110. We can go over the win totals coming up after the break, but just quickly looking at the division, Cowboys or Eagles off the bat?
I'd take Dallas. I think what Philly did in the draft was embarrassing, in my opinion. I mean, Rager is fine. Picking Hurts has to make your QB furious. Mm. Using a second-round pick like that, I don't believe in the coaching staff over there. You know, they ever since the Super Bowl year, it feels like they've been trending the wrong way. I still don't love their wide receiver personnel. I think they, you know, obviously right now they don't have a left tackle. Like they have a lot of things that they need to fix on that team, in my opinion. And Carson Wentz just feels like he's a hit away from always being hurt. It feels like the guy is hurt every year.
In the biggest times, too, you know?
Yeah, and I understand what Philly is trying to do, and I think they've done well to add defensively. I just don't think that we're at a point where I think Dallas is still the better team. I think Dallas has added where they've needed to add, and I think that they've been the team that has done the most, you know, the most in the offseason, had a good draft, you know, got CeeDee Lamb at, what, 17, which, again, is, you know, ridiculous. I'd give the edge to Dallas, and I'll tell you this, Joe. Dallas opened at a 9.5 win total. They got sharp to 10. There was one sharp guy, I'm not going to give out his name, who put out the Dallas Cowboys over 9.5 wins, and that shot up to 10 in about 4 minutes. Four or five minutes.
We'll get into the win totals coming up after the break. Again, any thoughts on opening stuff? UFC tonight as well, the Bundesliga, golf as well. We're here until 8 a.m. He's Dan Lifshatz. I'm Joe Murray. This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show. 617-779-0985. We'll talk to you after the break.
This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show with Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, back here at 98.5 The Sports Hub. It's the DraftKings Over-Under Show. I'm Joe Murray. He's Dan Lifshatz. We're live in studio today. It's beautiful outside. Programming note, the golf show with Hardy begins at 8 o'clock. We get some golf stuff at the end. Maybe we'll do a crossover with him regarding the big event today. The driving relief event sponsored by TaylorMade. So,
what is it called? The Skins game?
It's like an 18-hole Skins or whatever. Yeah. I used to love playing PGA Tour Skins on the video games.
Yep.
Against like my friends. I used to do side bets with them too.
Of course.
Yeah. But it was more like, you know, well not so much money. It'd be like, who's buying tacos?
Or, no, I get it.
Who's buying the Big Macs and the Nuggets today? You know, that's pretty much what it was. Coming up in just a little bit, we're going to hear from John Anik, the voice of the UFC. Local boy as well. I go way back with him. He's going to preview the main event for tonight's ESPN Fight Nights. And we're going to break down a couple of the UFC stuff from this past week as well. Dan's got the Bundesliga coming up in a little bit. But we've been discussing the NFC East. And right now, when it comes to the betting line, the Cowboys are a slight favorite at plus 110. Then the Eagles at plus 115. Giants and Redskins. Just another thing real quick about the Eagles that just is interesting to me. Alshon Jeffrey, DeSean Jackson. We know Jackson got hurt last year. And then you mentioned Rager. I actually think Rager will be a good fit for them. I'm surprised, Dan. I know when we did the draft show, I didn't know if he'd go in the first round. You were pretty convinced he would.
I think I put out there that if there was a Rager first round prop, I would take it.
Yeah, and he did everything at TCU. Very, very good player. We'll see.
He was the most explosive guy on the field, easily.
Yeah, no doubt. But I'm still curious about their running game. Miles Sanders had a decent year last year, and that kid Boston Scott turned it on late. But he's an undrafted kid, and normally some of these running backs the next year, they don't bounce back. Now, they drafted Michael Warren, if you remember, from Northern Illinois.
I do indeed.
And I wonder if he's someone that could make an impact for them. But you mentioned no left tackle, right? Peters is still out there.
Andre Dillard is their left tackle right now. And I mean, you know, I don't love Dillard. I know I think it was a first round pick. It was something like that. 22nd overall. I don't know, whatever. Something like that.
But that's what concerns me. And I think they'll be fine on like last year, they were not good at corner, right?
No.
They're still not good.
But, they brought in Darius Slay.
Yeah, they traded for him.
And they have Sidney Jones now. So they're going to roll with those two. And, you know, they have Roby Coleman as well. So, I mean, they have...
Clinton Dix they brought in, who's a hard-hitting safety. I know he's not the greatest coverage safety, but they bring him in and they draft Diggs as well, as you mentioned. So, yeah, I think they'll be all right there. They'll be better, but it's still... In that division, if you're going to go up against CeeDee Lamb and those wide receivers for the Dallas Cowboys, and I'm sorry, I mentioned that Diggs is actually on... I was looking at the Cowboys roster.
Yeah, but, I was going to say, I think it's Mills and McLeod, whatever it is. Rodney McLeod.
Rodney McLeod. Yep. Yeah, McLeod. No, but just quickly, like looking at the wide receiving core for Dallas, Michael Gallup had a huge year. Amari Cooper, obviously, is what he is.
We talked about the draft last year. Who did I tell you was my favorite wide receiver coming out? Or 2 years ago. I told you it was Michael Gallup out of Colorado State. Loved him in college.
No.
I still think he's going to be a great player.
So I think CeeDee Lamb's going to play the slot, the old Cole Beasley position.
Which is where he should be.
He might take off, dude.
He's a natural fit there, man.
Yep. Again, it looks good on paper, but we'll see how it goes. The Giants, man. Danny Dimes, Saquon Barkley, Joe Judge taking over there. Like, I just don't see it. Even Washington, like,
Ron Rivera
type team.
I mean, listen, they're not year one. I mean, they are a nice team, right? I think we all can say that, you know, they have some good young talent. They're going to get better, but they're not there yet, man. And to be honest with you, they're in trouble at corner, because if DeAndre Baker does not play this season, and I would be stunned after what we heard about, you know, his whole case, and it's pending. Yeah. It's pending.
He had the witnesses out there for him.
Well, know. No, that's the Quentin Dunbar who had the witnesses for him. Baker does not. If Baker, you know, it doesn't play, they're in trouble at corner.
Did you see the meme that, like, he made a big play last year and they went behind him and started searching him?
And then they arrested him?
Yep. I thought that maybe we should have known something a long time ago about it.
I mean, dude, there were character concerns in college. I mean, those character concerns are coming to light now.
Sterling Shepard, Golden Tate, still the same old Darius Slayton. They bring in, like,
Slayton was okay at Auburn.
Deion Lewis comes in as their pass. No, that's not good.
Their offense?
You think their offense is going to be good?
I do.
Yeah, no, you're the fantasy
If they can stay healthy. Evan Engram has a history. Sterling Shepard cannot get out of his concussion ways. He has a lot of potential, though. That could be a sneaky good offense.
I mean, I like Slayton as the third guy, but Golden Tate has lost a step or two at this point.
Their offensive line was brutal last year.
Yeah.
That was the worst offensive line in football.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know what they did in the offseason, but...
They drafted Andrew Thomas, yeah. But other than that, I mean, they didn't really do anything. Will Hernandez is still there. Pulley is their center.
Nate Solder was terrible.
Solder was one of the worst tackles in the league last year. I think there's... I mean, Zeitler was their only great offensive
line. Tucker, you're right. If the offensive line doesn't suck, they might... We know their tight end's pretty good, right? Saquon Barkley's good. Deion Lewis will probably help a little bit there in the passing
game. I'm not expecting much out of Lewis. He's a compliment.
But Danny Dimes has to cut down the turnovers. Can't be throwing three interceptions a game.
Yeah, it boils down to him.
In Washington, I don't even want to go over. But the win totals, Dan, as you said.
I think Washington might be better than the Giants this year. Sorry.
Washington played hard, though, last year. I know they sucked, but they were in every game, man. They almost they were close to covering. They were one of the better teams against the spread last year.
I mean, listen. If you're asking who the third best quarterback is in that division, I happen to like the Redskins.
Haskins?
No, I don't think that they're going to end up going with Haskins. I think they're going to go with Kyle Allen.
Yeah, they traded for him. Patriots were interested in him at one point.
And I do think that Kyle Allen is a better quarterback right now than Danny Dimes, because Dimes, to me, is a guy who can light it up, but he turns the ball over. So Dimes almost reminds me a little bit of Winston. He's just very careless with turnovers, and that does scare me a little bit.
Yeah, and, you know, Adrian Peters. Is Geis ever going to be ever be healthy for them? You mentioned Kyle Allen's another one. They brought in Steven Montez. Remember him from Colorado?
I mean,
used to bet on him all the time.
Yeah, I bet against him.
Yeah. But as far as these win totals go, Dan, Cowboys at 10, it's at -135. Eagles 9.5. All these are juiced. Redskins 5.5. Five. Giants 6.5.
So
every one of them is juiced.
We'll just go down the list. I'd say Cowboys 10 is probably around the same. I don't think there's much value at 10. Maybe 9.5. I definitely like 9.5. 10 I wouldn't touch. Eagles 9.5 to me is an under. I think I have to go under there. I think we're looking at an 8-9 win Eagles team.
Well, if the Giants or Redskins are better, they're probably going to struggle a little bit.
So I think the Eagles are down. Giants to me 6.5 under. I mean, they're probably going to lose their corner. I don't believe in Danny Dimes. The offense may put up points, but the offensive line is still in trouble.
And like, I know Eli Manning retired, and it was like, this is this kid's first year in the league. I think we're just back up Colt McCoy. I mean, I didn't even look.
They just waived the claim the kid.
Yeah,
off
Colt McCoy from Cooper Rush.
Cooper Rush, yuck. Yeah, from Dallas.
So yeah. They're going to struggle. Under 6.5 on that one.
I'd lean Redskins over 5, but I don't feel confident in that play. I got to be honest with you.
But hey, Ron Rivera, man, he's not going to go out like that. Like, no. I think that guy's people love playing for him. Remember the Panthers had a bad year and then went 15-1 the next year?
Yeah.
So, like, they might have talent there. It's just there's a lot going on in that organization.
Well, I'm not sure Kyle Allen is a 15-win quarterback.
So he did okay. And he was comfortable with him a year ago.
I like Kyle Allen. I think he's a really good backup in the NFL. I just don't think that he's going to be.
I'd go Haskins. See what you got.
I mean, they probably will early, but if Haskins is terrible like he was at points last year, then you have to turn it back to Kyle Allen.
For me, I go over Cowboys, under Eagles, over Skins, under Giants.
Me too. Is there anyone that you love there? I got to be honest, I don't love any of them. If you could get the Cowboys in an over 9.5 at a good price, I would really like that play.
Listen, the Cowboys need to be better. McCarthy's going to be better with them in the offense. Dak Prescott's going to have a huge year. I'm telling you. Unless he gets injured, he's going to have a huge year. He's got that big-time franchise tag on him right now. He wants to get paid. I think he's going to have a huge year. And the one thing I noticed that he did last year was he put the game in his own hands. At times, instead of forcing throws, he ran the football. That's what he needs to do. Like, look at Russell Wilson does it when he's in trouble. Other quarterbacks can move around when they have to. He's got the skills. I think he finally learned that last year towards the end of the year. I hope it's something he brings towards. But he could be thinking about his body more, right? Thinking long-term about a contract. That's always on the table.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. But, I mean, Russell Wilson has learned to throw the ball away in certain times, make plays. Obviously, Dak's not as dynamic or as good as Russell Wilson in general. But I think that, you know, Prescott will be a good player in the league.
Another thing,
a good year.
Former for fourth-round pick. I don't want to compare Jared Stidham and Dak or anything like that. But both were very good college players, right? Dak took after Tim Tebow, played that role there in college. And, you know, if you look at what Stidham did with Auburn,
I think
running team, right?
To me, Stidham was the better of the two college quarterbacks.
Absolutely agree.
I mean, Dak was what, Miss State? And he was good there, but I think that Stidham
was a better
after Baylor in his first year, was the projected number one overall pick.
Yeah.
Scouts raved about him. They loved him. He had a good year in Auburn when he had Kerryon Johnson his second year when he transferred.
He had nobody on offense the second year. He still put up decent numbers.
Yep. He had Slayton, Hastings, and Kerryon Johnson. That was his offense, okay? And then after Kerryon Johnson left, they couldn't run the ball. They lost half their offensive line.
They still beat Alabama.
Matt Malzone was a terrible play caller.
He sucks.
And
He's terrible.
And Stidham was a fourth-round pick, and when he was projected as the number one overall pick and a first-round pick back-to-back years before he dropped to the fourth round. I think the kid has talent. I think the kid can play. I think the kid got, I think the kid got kind of screwed. That's my honest opinion.
Let's go to the phones. We got John and Stoughton. What's up, John?
Not much. I just got a random side bet for you guys. Want to get your opinion on it.
Yeah.
So do you think the hockey player is going to come out like wild animals out of cages and just start fighting each other? Is it going to be more fights or less fights due to, not playing for so long? And where there's going to be no fans, do you think you guys get like a count of how many F-bombs are dropped in like games or something like
yes.
that? Go over under on that?
John, good call, because there are some events that are happening where you can bet if there's over or under F-bombs. I think tomorrow night's Jordan documentary has, how many F-bombs will come in that, who will cry if Jordan will cry. But there are events that do have those type of prop bets. You're right. As far as the NHL goes, I don't think they'll be fighting.
No,
they don't.
Definitely not.
Especially if they're going to go straight to the playoffs.
If anything, those guys want to stay away from each other.
Definitely
don't want to be fighting. I don't think they're like cage animals. Half the league doesn't even want to come back. So, no, I don't think there's.
Yeah, what was that, 12% of the league did not want to come back.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. But I do think the F-bomb thing could be really fun, man, especially in the NBA. Mm-hmm. Like, there's going to be so much,
Yeah, we almost got a couple of cats at the draft. We got a dog.
There's going to be MFing. Like, the NBA is going to be another animal in terms of, like, actually,
Yeah,
bleeping
a lot of trash talk.
The stuff. Yeah.
You can't cover me. You can't guard me. Draymond Green.
Kevin Garnett, it's like calling people, like, cancer patients on the corner again, you can't do that without fans there. It's not okay.
We're gonna get into the UFC because that was very interesting this week, and we'll be joined by John Anik, the voice of UFC, coming up after the break.
It's the show where you never have to hedge your bets.
Get it?
The DraftKings Over Under Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Oh.
Is that what they're going to call us going forward, then? Big Meech and Larry Hoover?
That's what they want. I mean, they termed us the Bankroll Boys already, right? We're going to keep
nicknames
or whatever.
Yeah, well, I'll take Big Meech. I'll be Big Meech. You can be Larry Hoover. So this week, I've bet every single UFC event, every fight, some rounds as well. Won 600, six units, excuse me.
Whoa.
The first 40 event.
40 and slept.
Won six units the first event.
There we go.
And then lost 2.6, so 2.45 units the second event. So I got just under 4 units to play with tonight. I know you got a juicy one coming up in a little bit here. But the fact that the UFC has 3 events in a week, dude, and like the show must go on, the blueprint, Dana White's out there being just like, yep, I got it. This, you know, actually 3 people got sick, but Souza tested positive, so they couldn't have that fight. And essentially everything else has worked out great. I had a chance to talk to John Anik. I asked him about his week. He didn't have to fly to Jacksonville. He lives in South Florida. He said he took 2 tests this week, got instant results. When the Souza result came out, he already got a negative. So when the Souza results came out, he already felt fine. He already got a swab yesterday. He's good to go. Everyone else is good to go. So the way they're handling this is anybody in the building is getting swabbed, getting tested, and everything's worked out well. Like, I applaud the UFC. They took criticism from so many people. Bob Arum of boxing, who's ruined that sport, even tries to come out and say things about Dana White and what he's doing. I applaud the UFC for everything they've done this week. I think they've put on a fantastic show. Tonight will be the ESPN Fight Nights, the big fight. Of course, Alistair Overeem has been around for years. He's taking on Matt Wolf. There's a few things about this fight that's interesting. And we'll hear from Anik in a minute here. But, you know, Dan, I know you're big on, hey, let's move the needle. Let's, you know, try something here. And I think what the UFC has done should be the blueprint for all sports. We keep hearing about one person sick, everyone, we have to shut it down. They didn't. So where do we start here? When does this begin? There's 2 big events tonight. There's a women's match, and there's the Alistair Overeem match. Let's hear from John Anik. He's the voice of the UFC. He's going to break down tonight's big match with Overeem and Wolf and about their story and how they got here. Let's hear from John Anik, voice of the UFC.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll start with Alistair Overeem. He had the wherewithal to get to the U.S. before it would have been really hard to do so. So I remember seeing him early on masked on a plane, I think in March, if I'm not mistaken, got to the U.S. where he trains, knowing that this fight could conceivably happen. Alistair's got a lot of respect for Walt Harris. They were supposed to fight in a main event last December. And of course, Walt Harris's stepdaughter, Anaya Blanchard, was murdered and that fight did not happen. But it hit Overeem hard. He has 4 daughters himself, I believe. And I think Alistair, in some respects, came to the U.S. so he could try to make this fight happen for Walt. And I give him all the respect for doing so. He's not over the hill. I think, if anything, his fight IQ has improved exponentially over the years. He can still go 5 hard fives. He knows how to navigate really powerful guys like Walt Harris. He was 4 seconds away from beating Jarzinho Rozenstruik back in December. And Jarzinho, of course, beat him, split his lip open, and fought Francis Ngannou next. So Overeem is not afraid of Ngannou. He's not afraid of Rozenstruik. He's not afraid of Walt Harris. And he doesn't deserve to be a plus 150 underdog. I think he's like plus 135 right now. So I'm not surprised that most people I talk to see value in Alistair Overeem. Walt Harris, I think, is the great variable here. There are a lot of different emotions. I mean, there's no doubt that Walt Harris is a plus athlete, and he kicks like a mother, too. So he can punch not quite as hard as Francis Ngannou, but he punches really hard. He'll kick your head off and quickly. So Walt deserves the distinction as the favorite. And I actually think Walt could be aided by the fact that there's no crowd, because there would be so much emotion brought on by a crowd that would literally be giving him a standing ovation every step of the way. So I think for Walt, there are going to be a lot of emotions to begin with, and he's not afraid to let them show. But I think the fact that there are no fans, it stands to reason that could really help a guy who's dealing with every parent's ultimate nightmare.
All right, cool. So that's John Anik from the UFC. He got into a lot there. Overeem came here to get this fight done because Harris's stepdaughter was murdered. And it was supposed to happen in December. It didn't happen.
Right.
So Overeem came here to work out. Like, they want to get on this fight. Overeem's one of the best fighters in UFC history. He's got a laundry list of guys he's beaten. The one thing he mentioned was the fans. The fans would get behind Harris. He's the story, right? Coming back after this to fight one of the greats. So what I got from Anik is that Wolf should be the favorite, but Overeem's getting disrespected and maybe lean the dog in this one because there is no crowd.
It's interesting. I mean, again, I told you I've watched these events. I know the guys. I know Overeem. I don't know who Walt Harris is. So this is like my first time hearing about it. Anytime something like that happens, man, the crowd's always going to be behind you. So, yeah, that's a huge distinction in how you would want to line the fight. Like, if there's fans there, you might bump that up.
But it could be both ways. There could be the side that's rooting for Wolf, the side that knows Overeem, the big name. I mean, these are just two dudes going at it tonight who want to do this for each other. And I'm going the underdog. Telling you right now, going Overeem.
Okay.
But there's a huge emotional effect for Wolf.
Gotcha. So, I mean, yeah, I don't know enough to pretend and sit here like I do. But what I'll tell you is, and what I can tell you is, emotion is either a great thing or a terrible thing for you in the fight. It can either be a destroyer for you where you get too emotional and you lose your head, or it can be, you know, the motivator that helps you.
One other fight tonight. It's the other main event. It's Claudia
Cadella.
Cludella, I think. I don't forget how you say it. Versus Angela Hill. Anik talks about this, and Lifshatz has a great trend for you. Let's hear from Anik here.
The 115-pound division, which you sort of referenced with Claudia Cadella and Angela Hill fighting in the co-main event on Saturday night. This is the division, right? This is the deepest women's division. This is the top five with four former champions and a wrestler in Tatiana Suarez that might be the biggest problem for every one of the four former champions, right? Angela Hill is the Donald Cerrone of this division. She fought four times in 2019, and she's already gotten two in this year, which I don't think any other fighter can lay claim to. So she wants to be active. She's better when she's in this type of cycle. She is a smart fighter who doesn't like to have a lot of time between fights to think about those fights and perseverate on her opponents. So quick turns are good for her. But Claudia Cadella is the favorite for a reason. You know, she's the woman who competed in the first UFC strawweight fight ever, which was in 2014. She's a perennial, not just contender, but top contender type. She wrestles, she's disciplined, and she seems to be in a really good headspace. So, you know, I don't bet these fights. You know, I have a lot of intimate knowledge on these fights, but I do think Angela Hill probably deserves a little more respect from Vegas, but again, not so much respect that she'd be favored.
I'm a big fan of intimate knowledge there, Dan. big fan of intimate knowledge.
I mean, staying out of that.
So anyways, Dan,
staying out of that.
You have a nugget.
Yeah, so
should we do it now or on the other side? Let's do it on the other side. Yeah, and we got Bundesliga and we got Tardy coming in too as well. It's 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Who you got? These guys have the answer. Joe Murray, Dan Lifshatz, the DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5. The Sports Hub.
All right, final segment of the DraftKings Over-Under Show. I'm Joe Murray. Dan Lifshatz is here. We just heard from John Anik, the voice of the UFC. Mentioned tonight's co-main event, Claudia versus Hill. Dan, you have a nice nugget regarding all the women's fights in UFC.
Yeah, so 24 of the last 25 women's fights have gone over 2.5 rounds. So the juice is high on all these fights. I'll be honest with you. I think it's like minus 300 to go over in the two women's fights tonight. In the Casey and Barella fight, too, is like minus 450. So that one, you know, very heavy to go over.
Yikes.
Cadella Hill is like 300-ish, I think, most places. Listen, these fights are probably going to go over. The women are not, you know, Ronda Rousey, Chris Cyborg, all that stuff.
And well, so, Amanda Nunez the best.
Nunez, right? Okay, yeah, okay. You know what I mean? I'm just listing off of the big time, heavy hitting females, and so because of that, you know, you don't see a lot of knockouts or technical knockouts that you know on the ground or whatever.
The other thing that Anik mentioned was the judges. So like, you might go the distance, and then you don't know. We mentioned the Watterson fight this week.
Right.
It could go either way. Right. And I don't know how you judge something 30-27 for one fighter and the other gets 30-27.
Dude, that was the worst judge.
And then the third judge all of a sudden
I don't know enough about the UFC to be really that critical, but I know enough to know there was no 30-27s in that fight. That was 29-28 pretty much in every round, right? I mean, yeah.
Yeah. I will. That's one thing. Like, we've watched boxing for years. UFC, I won't understand how they judge the fights.
All right. So I was going to give you I gave you the sharp point last week, right? Which one? I'll give you the sharp point this week. This week, the sharps are all about Krzysztof Jocko. Okay. He opened out like, I think,
minus 142 right now.
Yeah. So you can get anywhere between minus 140 and minus
160. So that's the sharp.
So that is the sharp play. Everyone, all the sharps I know are on it. Taking on Eric Anders tonight. So there you go. There's your sharp play. Krzysztof Jocko, minus 140, minus 150, whatever it is. I'm telling you, that's where the sharps are lying tonight.
All right, we got the golf club coming up in a minute here. Bundesliga, though. Just tell us about it, and do you have anything today for the Bundesliga?
Yeah, I am betting on Leipzig-Freiburg over 3. I put that out a couple days ago.
What is the Bundesliga, Dan?
Bundesliga is just the German soccer league. It is the German soccer league. It's one of the biggest leagues in the world. It's probably, I'd say, the fourth biggest. There's the Prem, the Serie A, La Liga, which is Spain, and then the Bundesliga. And, you know, then Liga 1 is right there with France. But I'd say the Bundesliga is bigger than that. They have Dortmund. They have Bayern. You probably know those two teams. You know, if you're any sort of soccer fan at all, you know this league. It's a big league. These teams are competitive every year. So there you go.
Okay, quickly, and I know we have a call. Someone wants to get on UFC. We'll do it. What's up, Gabe? You're on the DraftKings over-under show. What's up, bud?
Hey, Joe. It's Gabe from West Roxbury.
What's up,
Gabe?
Just
wanted to call in real quick, say that interview yesterday with Anik was great, and just want to give a couple quick picks. I see Wal Harris winning inside the decision. I see Gadelia winning by decision, and then I see Chikaze winning by KO.
All right, Gabe with his picks today. He's actually done pretty well which he's basically faded all my picks.
Yeah, two square. I'm sorry, Gabe. I'm gonna fade you there. That is a minus 420, a minus 220, and another fade in Harris.
Real quick, you watched both events, right? One was pretty square, one wasn't. It's the third fight in a week.
I've heard both of those were very sharp events. So,
yeah. All right, Hardy is here. In studio.
What's up, gentlemen?
It's a beautiful day outside. I drove by the George Wright yesterday. Place was jam-packed.
I'm happy that you mentioned it, because joining us here in about 20 more minutes, the head professional from George Wright. This was almost like it was planned.
Good job,
this
Joe is like, Murray. Good job, this, Joe Murray.
Seriously. Like, this is the type of thing that you would set up between a couple of hack anchors, but the fact is, this is just a happy accident. The head professional from George Wright, Scott Allen, is going to be on the show here this morning just to talk about, okay, what's it really like? You know, people say, oh, we can go play golf. Yeah, not so fast, Private. It's much different these days. So Scotty's going to come on and talk about, like, how it's going over at George Wright and, you know, what people are doing right, what people are doing wrong, what you need to do before you just grab your clubs and go, because, spoiler alert, you just can't grab your clubs and go.
Yeah, myself and Tucker Silva got into a nice debate regarding the golf thing, if you want to lean on him at some point during the show. All right, so we got some odds here. Hardy, we wanted to bring you in. It's the TaylorMade Driving Relief Showdown. Here's how it works. Teams start with $500,000 in the bank. So holes 1 through 6 worth $50,000, 7 through 16, $100,000, and then 17 and 18 go from $200 to $500,000. There's a longest drive competition in hole 2.
Hold on a second. Yeah. Hold on a second. This is the one that's happening tomorrow. This is Rory McIlroy, Dustin Johnson, Ricky Fowler,
and
something called a Matt Wolf.
Yep.
Which wait a second. What's Matt Wolf doing there? If you're expecting the answers from the Sports Hub Golf Club this morning, here's the answer. He's a TaylorMade guy.
He can drive, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so can a lot of guys out on tour. And Matt Wolf is a cool player to watch, because he's got this goofy-ass swing. It's very upright. It looks like, if you just looked at his top of his swing position, it looks like he is spraying it right to the moon. But one of these things is not like the other. And I'll get into more.
All right, betting odds. Who you got for the longest drive?
What's the bank? I thought they're playing skins.
They are playing. Yeah, that's what they're doing. So yeah. 17 and 18, I believe, is $200,000 and $500,000.
Who's got money in the bank, though? What's the bank?
I don't know. That's what I'm looking here. What the hell is this?
It's
on the PGA Tour page. TaylorMade longest drive. Hole 2, $100,000 for the longest drive. $150,000. For every birdie, $25,000.
Okay, so what do you want? Ask me a specific question.
Who do you want have to win with the longest drive?
Don't overthink this. Go with DJ. Go with long ball Dustin Johnson. You know, he's going to have hopefully a good night tonight, maybe blow a few rails, not fall down the stairs of his rental home, and show up tomorrow just free swinging and loosey goosey.
Couple of nose beers.
Yeah, that's right. A little booger sugar. I want him showing up at the course tomorrow, his nostrils looking like the rim of a margarita glass.
Will Paulina be there? That's my only question.
Is there a prop on that? So, I'm going to say no.
So real quick, the betting odd actually goes by the team. So Dustin Johnson, Rory McIlroy, minus 250 for the longest drive.
Yeah, don't overthink this one. And don't overthink the overall odds in terms of who's going to, you know, take more holes in the match. Who are the two best players out of these four guys? Why did they get put together?
And I think that's what we agreed on. Even though it's juiced up a little bit, McIlroy and Dustin Johnson.
Squares the day is long, but sometimes squares the way you go.
Ricky Fowler's probably... You know, right now there's this always moniker, you know, in sports. Who's the best, quarterback, point guard, you know, the top line center to never win at all? Who's the best golfer right now to have not yet won a major championship? It's Ricky Fowler. He is my guy right now. So he's no slouch. And Matt Wolf, he's only one of the top 200 best golfers on the entire planet. The guy doesn't suck. But you're telling me there's going to be one day, one round,
yep.
And you got DJ and Rory on one side, Ricky Fowler and Matt Wolf on the other?
It's a coming out party, Hardy.
I'll take DJ and Rory.
I agree with you on that one.
Minus 175, right?
I'm in on that. $75 in juice. In! All right, next week we're going to cover the big Tiger Woods. Of course, Peyton Manning, and then the Brady.
That one's going to get silly. We'll need more time for the crossover on that one next week because there are some stupid prop bets out there that I hope you will advise.
I'm excited for that one because the amount of crap that's going to be available to bet on next week is going to be downright ridiculous.
Oh yeah!
All right, we got fight night tonight. I'll be giving out picks at Joey Murr on Twitter. Dan Lifshitz has all the Bundesliga picks at Dan Lifshitz. On Twitter, follow us there. And at over/985, the account works now on Twitter.
Twitter decided we're not two years old.
He got banned.
Banned from Twitter?
We set a birthday as the first time we did the podcast, and Twitter decided they want to add age restrictions at some point. So your two-year-old podcast is no longer allowed on Twitter. So they suspended the account.
Because they think your podcast is a toddler.
They thought we were 2 years old.
Your podcast is the equivalent of the podcast walking around the house with a T-shirt, no diaper, and a box of Cheerios. That's your podcast.
Not about winning or losing. Not making money, kid. All right, Golf Club coming up next. Thanks, Tucker. We'll talk to you guys next week.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.